Morning. Thanks for coming out. Just for the people in cyberspace, it's snowing wherever you are. I guess few people think about it, but if you have to think about what your favorite matzah is, I mean, I personally think about this. I think someone missed the warning there. I think your favorite matzah, tzvardeya, always is kind of high on the list. My kids, I know, will come home for school this week. Very few of them will be bringing blood. Very few of them will bring lice. Actually, maybe one or two. But not deliberately correct. However, everybody makes frogs. Frogs are very cute. If you had to have a marker, that would be the one you would go with. You look at the first marker in the Maamar Kamos, which shows how you ort Sfar De'im, with the Tzadi. The frogs were here, the frogs were there, the frogs were jumping everywhere, roughly translated. The Gemara Pesachim, however, uses this as a marker for a seemingly very important halacha. Number two, Toshma, Ozed Darash Tudus Ish Romi. What were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah thinking when they decided to jump into the fiery furnace rather than bow down to the Tzelem? So the answer is Nasu Kal V'chomer Ba'atzma, made a Kal V'chomer mitzvardim from the Tzvardeya. What the Tzvardeya, who taka are not chayvim mitzvahs, and they still jumped into, it says, into the houses, into the ovens, into the bowls where they were kneading the dough. So when are you kneading dough next to the oven? When you're baking bread, indicating that the oven is on. I'm not much of a cook, but I realize that one of the prerequisites for cooking is to turn on the oven. Obviously, the ovens were hot. So the Tzvardeya jumped into the ovens because the Pesukim told them they had to do that. And therefore, they died al Kiddush Hashem. So if a Tzvardeya that's not Chayv in Kiddush Hashem is willing to die for what is the Tzivay of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah said, Kal v'chomer us. Tosfos asked an interesting question. So Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirush HaKuntras, Ma Rosh Lo Darshu V'chay Behem V'lo Shayomas Behem. So the question is, what was their Shaila? So Rashi says, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were thinking, well, you understand that there is a mitzvah of chai b'hem, that we have to live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs. So on the one hand, we have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. On the other hand, we have the mitzvah of a chai b'hem. How do we deal with this stira? What outweighs the other? The kasha. Tosha says that's hard to accept. The haber far has you have it. Said, what did Tosis, what did that have a Kavah Chomer for? We understand that there are the three cardinal sins, the Gimel Averos Chamuris, that a person has to die for them. And one of the three are Avodah Zarah. So the assumption is Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were told to bow down to Avodah Zarah. That being the case, so that's the halacha. So you're told to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, you have to give your life. So why do they need to come up with this lavdash, Kal v'chomer from the Tzvardeya? Where does the Kal v'chomer even come into play here? The Feresh Adin. Upir Shabbeinu Tam, the Tzelem Zeh, Sha'asa Nevuchad Netzer, Rav Avodah Zarah Hava. So the boy, Rabbeinu Tam answers that what they were told to bow down to was not Avodah Zarah. Nebuchadnezzar told him to bow down to a statue. That wasn't a statue of Avodah Zarah. What was it? In Dartish also Chavod Atzma. It was a statue of himself. It's not that he thought it was God. It was a matter of people showing him Chavod. They wanted that he should bow down to himself. He didn't hold himself. He wasn't Paro. He didn't hold that he was God. But technically that wasn't Avodah Zarah, and then as such, they really weren't chayiv to do it. The kach amar ma ro'u, b'chei mashu b'siv ro'u, koch roch anchona p'alchinun l'tzom d'dov ro'u nasku kamei. You look at the psukim, it seems to be divided into two things. They say, we don't bow down to Avodah Zarah, and we're not going to bow down to your statue. Rabbeinu Tam indicates that those are two different things. We don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. B, we don't bow down to your statue, even though your statue is not Avodah Zarah. He said, so therefore, according to the Ikar Adin, according to the straight halacha of the Gimel Averis Chamuras, they did not have to bow down here. However, they accepted on themselves an additional chumrah, that since they realized standing up would have been a Kiddush Hashem, they realized that Kiddush Hashem, even if it does not involve the Gilma of Eres Chamuros, that also is a person has a chiyuv to follow what is the Hashem's ratzon, even in the face of death. Tosfos brings a raya from a Gemara Ksubas. Tosfos in Ksuba says, Gemara Ksuba says, Yomolei nigdu Chananya Mishav Azaria pochul letzalme. Says in the event, okay, Chananya Mishav Azaria did not bow down to the Avodah Zarah in the face of death. However, the Gemara says, if they would have been tortured, then they would have given it. Torture is even worse than death. How can you say if Avodah, if they were tortured, they would have done Avodah Zarah? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, you see that this wasn't Avodah Zarah. This was their own chumrah. It's a very interesting idea, though. If you think back at Tosfos, you end up realizing that there are situations where a person is not chayiv to give their life, and still they have the opportunity to volunteer. This is directly related to a very famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam, in number 5, the Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah says, "Kol mi shenehar mo yava v'lo yehareg, v'nehargo v'lo avar, harei zeh mischayiv v'nafsho." If there is an avera other than the gimel averos chamuros, and a person volunteers to give his life rather than do it, the person's on a desert island, and the only thing on the desert island is a Chabad and McDonald's. What else would you find on a desert island? So you have no choice but to eat a McDonald's. If not, you're going to die. The person says, that's it. I'm rather die than eat a McDonald's. So the Rambam says, Shkoyach, it's very firm of you, that was suicide. You're not a Be'olam Haba anymore. A person does not have an opportunity to volunteer Yehar Gal Yavo. There's a very specific list. A person is not allowed to commit suicide. And in the event that the person commits suicide, we kill him for it. We can't do it anymore. He got to it first. But therefore, he does not get a kapara, and he's got serious Olam Haba problems. There are exceptions to the rule, but in the non-exceptions, if a person goes on and on his own decides to be machmir, right? The Rambam says that's absolutely usher. That's suicide. It's nothing but. Tosfos, however, in Avodah Zarah disagrees. The Armenian Eim Chadar Omer b'fnei Bikuach Nefesh Ela Avodas Kachav and Gilai writes for Shichus Damim v'imuratzol ahachner atzol afil b'shar mitzvus roshai. Tosfos, on the other hand, turns around and says no. That these are the cases where you have to give your life. However, in other situations, you're not mechuyev to give your life. However, if you choose to give your life for another avera, you're allowed to. Come over, Avar Bar Zimra, B'Yerushalmi, Shoye, Eitzel, Avot, Chom, Amrei, Achol, Nevela, V'ilav, Katim, Lach. There was a case where in the Yerushalmi where someone was told, eat tarfus, or we're going to kill you. Amrei, Bayez, Hamikli, Katol. He says, you want to kill me? Kill me. See if I care. V'mach, Oed, Mestom, B'Tzinav. So if this was Bivar Hesia, someone says I have to do an Aver Bivar Hesia, then Taki would have been Chayiv, Tosfos says. However, there's no indication for the Gemara this was Bivar Hesia, and still he volunteered. So we have a machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos would seem to be Rishit Tosso here, where Tosfos says that Chinana, Mishov, and Azariah was a case where they volunteered to give their lives, even though they weren't Chayiv to. Whether or not there's ever a situation where a person can give over their life, other than the three situations that are specifically enumerated. This idea, this machlokas, happens to come up in a lot of interesting cases. I just put down one here, number 7, dealing with the case of Hamalbin Pnei Chaver Barab. The Gemara in Brachos, based on the story of Yehuda and Tamar, says that it is better that a person throw themselves into a fiery furnace rather than embarrass the person publicly. How do we know this? We know this from Tamar and Yehuda. You end up in a situation where Tamar is going to be put to death if she doesn't fess up and say who the father of her child was. The father is Yehuda. It would have been a somewhat uncomfortable position for him. She does not come forward and give him up, but rather alludes to him that if he wants to give himself up, he can, but if not, the assumption is she was willing to give herself over. Now, the question is, how is that allowed? We know there are Gimel Averos Chamuros. Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. For those who give up your life. Malbim Pnecha Avero does not seem to make the list. So what gives her the right, and what gives the Gemara the right to tell us that's no aflo, that it's preferable that you give your life in this case? So there's a famous machlokas in the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shaarei Tshuva says, no, this is part of Shvichas Damim. Rabbeinu Yonah says that when someone gets embarrassed, their face turns white, the blood runs away, it's a form of Shvichas Damim, and that's where it falls on. It's an Avuz Rayu, it's a subcategory of Shvichas Damim. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. The Meiri disagrees. The Meiri takes the approach of, just kidding. Yeah, the Gemara is, it's an agada to you, it's like an hyperbole, better you should die, but really, when push comes to shove, not that way. It's an interesting topic. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach actually has a very interesting tshuva about this, his opinion, seeing about it, be a good topic if I get the right week one time, about how literally do we take this. For example, let's say I'm going off to speak in another community, I tell my wife that I found out that the rabbi in that community is a horse thief, and as such, I'm going to get up at the bima and I'm going to bang on the table and say, fire your rabbi, he's a horse thief, you don't want this type of guy here. So my family stays home in Washington Heights, I go off to Teaneck, wherever I'm going to give this speech. Not that I know any rabbi in Teaneck who's a horse thief. And Shabbos starts and my wife finds out that in fact my information was wrong. Should she be Mechalel Shabbos to stop me from giving this drasha? If you say that's mamish, ritzicha. So again, I would have a din of a rodeif. And of course you stay Mechal Shabbos to stop a rodeif. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is leading to, yeah, you're Mechal Shabbos if you take it literally.
Yeah. Why is your question to be wrong?
Because I was told by Rabbi Hoffman that this man's a horse thief.
No, but
then we find out that Rabbi Hoffman said, what?
Tomorrow you think she was right.
What?
In the Tamar Yehuda case, she was
right. Right, I'm saying that's correct. So in the case, in the event that she was right, right? So for example, let's really turn it into the case of Rodev. So I am the court executioner. So I'm allowed to kill somebody. However, if it was found out, if new information comes forward that this person was innocent, obviously somebody else could do whatever's in their power to stop me. So to hear. That in the event that the person is deserving of having this character assassination, then I am right to do it. However, if I'm wrong in my information which says that I am right to do it, then obviously someone could be Mechal Shabbos to stop me.
Should it embarrass me either way?
No, not if I get stopped. If they stop me before, and someone comes riding in on a horse, as
he's
I'm about
to. He's a horse thief, and you say so publicly, you embarrass him, and he'll hide me.
Unless he is a horse thief, and I want people to save their horses from him.
But Tamar would have been right to say it was Yehuda.
What?
Tamar would have been right to say it was Yehuda.
Oh, so you're saying so, but I don't understand. What she was saying is true. So again, as I said, if I get the right week, we'll get the shear. But it's a major discussion as to, was this perhaps a chumra yisera on her part? At that meaning that, but it was true. So, moving right along here, so the question is, whether we take this literally or not, if you look at the Divrei Yetzirah, number 7, he says that no, We're not talking about a situation where the person is really, where the person here really should give their life. But it says Noach lo adam. That means you're not mechuyev to give your life rather than embarrass somebody. However, we are encouraging you to volunteer. Now, obviously, this approach, when you're encouraging someone to volunteer, will only work according to Tosfos. It will not work according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, if I volunteer to give over my life, I am, in fact, committing suicide. There's no such thing as volunteering to give over your life. As opposed to the Tosfos, who says there is such a concept. You see from Chanan Mishofar, you see from the Tzfardeya, that there is such a situation where a person is not mechuyev to give over their life, but the fact that a person cannot give over their life is not such an all-encompassing that it can never be broken. There are situations where the rule is overridden. Shifting gears, let's take a look at the Rambam in number 8. Rambam has a din, also adam lachbo bein ba'asom bein b'chavero. I can't punch you in the nose, I can't punch me in the nose. Not everybody agrees on this. Look at the Torah. The Torah says, Ha'chovo ba'asmo alfim shein ha'rashai, potter. Even though I should not be hurting myself, so again, he basically agrees with the Rambam, obviously I can't sue myself for it. Why would I want to do that? Insurance. Ha'cherim she'chovo bo chayavim. So basically the Torah agrees with the Rambam. You look at the Ramah, kosach ha'ramah, well, it says, no, if you want to punch yourself in the nose, go right ahead. You are the boss over you. The Shulchan Aruch rejects the Ramah. That is not the normative halachic approach. The normative halachic approach is that a person cannot hurt themselves. Shulchan Aruch says, Choshen Mishra, Rechobo Ba'atzmo, Fishen Roshai, Pata Achem Shlom Bochayim. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe, who's dead according to all Choladeus, says as follows. Also, a hakos is chavera, afil hu nosin lo rishus, lakoso. If a guy comes over to you and says, punch me, come on, you're probably pretty mad at me right now, why don't you punch me? I give you rishus. You can imagine such a case. Awesome. Why not? Ki ein lo adam rishus al gufa, klal. Because I don't own my body. That's the general idea that we learn from this. Why can't I hit my? I have a right. I can, if it makes me happy, if I have a bad day at the office and I decide to take a hacksaw and cut my car in half, I have a right to do that. It's my car. It might not be the smartest thing to do. I have a right to do that. So if I'm really mad, why can't I go smash myself with a hammer? The answer is, while I own my car, I don't own my me. The Rebbe says. In fact, I have to treat my body well because it's not mine. It's a pikadon. I'm watching out someone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the body. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the body, I have to take best care of it as possible. Ellen came also b'derech tshuva, shetzar de tuva, tova hirom. However, there's certain situations where it's for the best of me. Obviously, there are a lot of things that I would like to do, a lot of things I would like to eat that aren't healthy for me. It's like, you can't turn around and say, listen, for the sake of the body, I have to do it. No, if it's really bad for you, then you can't do it. But the important issue that we have is that a person does not own their body. A person does not have a right to make decisions on their body as they see fit, because it's not theirs to decide. Based on this idea, Rav Avadya Yosef raises an interesting issue, and that issue is, let's say somebody, obviously if there's pikuach nefesh, we're mechalal Shabbos. What if there's pikuach nefesh because someone wants to commit suicide? Do I have a right to be mechalal Shabbos to save this person's life? So again, if this person was dying due to reasons unrelated to him, obviously, ain't davar omer b'dei pikuach nefesh. However, what if the guy's taking his own life? So, Rav Avadya raises the following possibility. Number 12. So, if somebody finds himself in danger of being robbed or he's drowning, how do I know you have to save the person? You can't stand by while a person's blood is being spilled. Uparach. V'amehachlan afkwa. Me'hasman. Why do you need this process? Avedas gufo minayin shenem v'ashe vosalo. So the Gemara says, do I really need that pasuk? Maybe there's another pasuk. I'm chayv in hashavas aveda. If you drop your wallet, I have to give it back to you. So if you're about to lose your wallet, I have to give it back to you, right? If you're about to get robbed, kal v'chomer, I stop you from losing it. If you're about to lose your life, I should return your life to you. Hashavas aveda, why don't we say avedas gufo? So mi hasam have a mina b'nafshe av al mitzvah migme agure eim alok. Mashmal Tzmur says no. I would think that if the pasuk was v'avesh ashe vosalo, then I would just have to do it on my own. Let's say I could pay someone off. I could hire someone else to do it. Then I wouldn't have to do it. Just like I don't have to pay someone else to return your aveda. I wouldn't have to pay someone else to do this. So I learned from there. No, from osamon, I have to do whatever I can to save the life. So Ravadia said, if you look at the drasha, the im isa. That's the case. Said, wait a second. If it was Hashavas Aveda, then what about a situation of someone who's committing suicide? So what's the story? If the event a person is walking and he drops his wallet, I have to give it back. If a person, you see this a lot of times if you're dealing gittin, right? Oftentimes if the get is given, the woman takes off her wedding ring and she throws it away. So obviously you don't have a mechitzah to pick up and say, excuse me, honey, you dropped this. Right? If a person makes it clear that they're not interested in it, you don't have to return it. So just like the woman who throws away the wedding ring, you don't have to give it back to her, so too if a person's throwing away their lives, there's no Hashavas Aveda. So the question is, why did the Gemara say the difference between the drush of Osamad al Dam Reyecha and the drush of Ashev Osalo is whether or not you have to hire someone? Why did it say the difference is whether if the guy is committing suicide? If it's Osamad al Dam Reyecha, you have to save the guy. If it's Ashev Osalo, you don't have to. This is what makes you happy? You see this oftentimes, people are guys going to jump off the bridge. People start yelling, jump, because we can get traffic going. You know, no, let's go. You know, you want it, it's your life. You made the decision. Now stop holding up traffic. Let's go. So, according to the drasha is Vashe Vosalo, the person, I wouldn't say the people are right, but you know, there is a logical possibility of following there. So what does Rav Avadya say? So Rav Avadya says, no, the reason the Gemara doesn't put this down as a nafkamina is why? Vashe Vosalo, only the fact that I don't have to do Hashavas Aveda on something that someone threw away, that's only if the person threw away their own object. If I'm walking down the street and I'm holding your wallet and say, I don't want it anymore, and I throw it away, I don't have a right to say, that's it, you don't have to return it, because it's not mine. So too, Rav Avadya said, based on our earlier concept, the person is not the Bialim on his own life. And since the person is not the Bialim in all life, he doesn't have a right to make a decision that he does not want this life anymore. It's not his to decide. So if I said, that's why the Gemara didn't say it. The Gemara didn't say the nafkamina is this, not because there is that somehow or another it doesn't fit into this. No, that Vashe Vosalo would appear because it's not your life anyhow. So you see from here this general concept. On the one hand, we come up with this idea that Tosfos has, that there are situations where your person can volunteer to give over their life, even in a situation where they're not mechuyev. On the other hand, based on the idea of chavala, the idea of saving someone on Shabbos who's trying to commit suicide, you have this concept that a person really is not bailam on their life. They do not have a right to make a decision. Now, when we say a person does not have a right to decide what's going to be with their life, it doesn't really matter how much life is left. Looking at the Rambam at number 13, the Rambam points out that a life is a life no matter what. Echad ahoreg esabori, o esachola hanotalamus, afilu ahoreg esagosa naragalav. If I murder a person, it doesn't matter if the person is alive and well. It doesn't matter if the person is ill. It doesn't matter if the person is within a few minutes of death. If I kill a person, that is murder, and I'm put to death for it no matter what. What's called a goses, a person who has already entered the process of death, you cannot speed up that in any way. And if you do, that's murder like any other type of murder. And just like, obviously, a person cannot kill a person who's a goses, someone himself is a goses, does not have a right to take his life either. There's no difference. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch spells out at length, we just gave you part of number 14, if a person is that close to death, he's still considered alive as far as everything goes. You don't in any way prepare the body for the Tahara afterwards. You can't take away a pillow from him. There's nothing you can do to a person. If a person is alive, even if he's hanging on by his last bit of life, alive is alive and there's nothing to talk about. And therefore it would seem from this that a person in all situations has to hold on to life as much as possible and cannot do anything to speed up their death. And if a person would do that, one, it's not his life to deal with, A. And two, beyond that, that's considered murder. However, in Nach, there is a case which seems to be a little bit against this and seems to expand the situation where a person can end their life. The famous case of Shaul HaMelech at the very end of Shmuel Aleph. Just have the story here in number 15, for those who went to yeshiva, so you never heard Nach. Uplishtim milchamim b'Yisrael, v'inosu anshei Yisrael b'nei Plishtim, v'yipu chalim b'har Gilboa. There's a war between Bnei Yisrael and Plishtim. We're losing out to the Palestinians at this point. V'yidbeku Plishtim as Shaul, v'as Bonu, v'yaku Plishtim as Yohonosan, v'as Inodov, v'as Malkishua b'nei Shaul. Shaul and three of his sons are surrounded, three sons are killed. And Shaul is now cornered, and the archers have set their sights on him. Shaul turns to his body man and says to him, kill me before they get me. The guy refuses to do it. Shaul falls on his sword. At that point, Vayar Nosei Kelev Kime Shaul, Vayivo Gamhu Al Charba Vayom Asima. And with that, Nosei Kelev sees what happens. He falls on his sword as well. So Shaul HaMelech took his own life. There was not a lot of time left for him, obviously. However, he did take his own life. Now the question is, so this is only a raya if we assume he did the right thing. One approach one could take is to say that Shaul HaMelech committed suicide, and if you ever get a chance to read Shmuel Aleph, it's probably not the only wrong thing he ever did, and as such, it's not a right. However, if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos has a piece of Agadita which seems to indicate that Shaul was in the right. Skipping ahead to Shmuel Beis, Gemara in Yevamos tells us that there is a famine for 3 years at the time of David. See, Vahiro be made David Shalom Shonim, Shana Acher Shana. Shana Rishon Amrohem, Shema Ovde Kochav, Avodas Kochav Yeshbachem. The first year said, why are we having a famine? So maybe people are Ovid of Odazar. See, Vavadim, Elohim Achiri Mishak Misamahem, Vatsaros Hashemayim, Vilyem Otar. We have the Pasuk says, if you're Ovid of Arazara, you're going to have a famine, it's going to stop raining. Bad Kuvron Matsu. Looked into it? Nope, not that. Shniya. Armelahem, Shema Ovi Averi Yeshbachem. Maybe there's some sort of a Gilai Arias. Ksiva, Imanu Revivim Malkosh. Ohio Matsach, Metzach Isha Zona Hayalach. As indicated in Yirmiyahu, that's another reason for famine. Swing and a miss strike too. Bad Kuvron Matsu. Shrishis, what about the third year? Armelahem, Shema Poskin Stock of Aram Yeshbachem Vein Nostim. Maybe there are people who give tzedakah who don't. It's another reason. The Pasuk in Mishlei indicates that's a problem. So what's going on? So they looked into that also, and they didn't find anything. Finally, what happens? So David Amel says we've got to go to a higher authority. He looks into Urim and Tumim. What does it say? Last line: Vayomar Hashem El Shol Ve'El Beis Hadamim Al Asher Hemis Givonim El Shol Shlo Nisbe Kahalacha. So what was the reason they had this famine? So the Gemara in Yevamos indicates it because there was never a proper hesped for Shaul HaMelech. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Klal Yisrael in such a serious way for never having a proper hesped for Shaul HaMelech, if we would say that Shaul HaMelech committed suicide, so someone who commits suicide does not get buried in the cemetery with everyone else, and for sure does not get a proper hesped. So the implication here is that Shaul HaMelech was deserving of a hesped, and therefore his death was halachically okay. So the question is, how is it possible that this is okay? According to all the rules that we set up beforehand, Shaul HaMelech was wrong in what he did. So there are several approaches. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodea, number 17, we have an unfortunate case where a katan commits suicide. All the lachas of someone commits suicide does not apply because you can't say the person is ma'abed asman l'das, because the person does not have proper das. The person doesn't know enough. V'chein golo ma'abed asman l'das, v'ho onus k'shol ha'melech, ein modim imeno kol dover. Similarly, somebody who is ma'abed asman l'das, however, they did not really have the ability to make a decision, like Shaul HaMelech, the Shulchan Aruch says, that person also gets a proper hesped. So what is the answer of the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch answers that perhaps the confusion of the battle, perhaps, you know, the pain of seeing his children killed before him, that somehow this was a case of onus. And that's why Shaul was okay in what he did. That ultimately, there's never a right time to do it. However, even though this was not right, he cannot be blamed for it. That's one approach. If you look however in the Beis Yosef has a very fascinating piece, which is deserving of a shiur unto itself. He says as follows, Kasper Archas Chaim, Vereshish Rabbah Dorish, V'achas Dimchem Avshav Seichem, Azhar L'chonik Es Asma, Yochol Afil Chanayim Mishol V'azaryo, Talmoloma Ach, Pesha B'shos Hashma, Yochol Vidso Asma V'miso, So the Medrash says that a person has the right to kill himself if this is Shas Hashmad, and he is nervous that when he is put into Nisayon to do whatever they want him to do, he won't be able to stand up to it. A person has the option to kill himself rather than put himself through that. V'chein yachol afil k'shol ben kish. Similarly, in the case of Shaul, where he was nervous that he was going to be tortured, a person is allowed to kill himself rather than to go through tremendous pain. That is what's relevant to us. I gave you, give you the next line because it's worth knowing. Unrelated. Some people say, and this is the raya that what they did in Masada was right. That they killed the children rather than give them over. Other people say, no, that what happened there with Hanani, Mishael, Vazari, it wasn't they were going to commit suicide. It's that someone else was going to kill them. However, you never have a right to kill yourself. Aye, what about Shaul? Shaul ben Kish, Shalo b'ratun chacham emasa. What he did was wrong. Now that happens to fit in well with the Shulchan Aruch. It's important that the Beis Yosef fit in with the Shulchan Aruch because it's the same person. Right? So the idea being that what he did was wrong. However, he was forgiven, given the fact that the circumstances where it happened. However, according to the first opinion here, that there are situations where if a person knows that death is inevitable, and there's and the only thing that's the question is whether you die now, or you suffer now and die later, a person, according to this, has a right to die now rather than to prolong the suffering. That is obviously very relevant to our situation. Now let's go back a little bit. This is not unrelated to a discussion as to how we understand the Gemara Ksuvah that was mentioned earlier. The Gemara Ksuvah says that Hanani, Mishael v'Azariah, were they to be tortured, they would have bowed down. So there are really two ways of understanding that. One way is to say that's just a statement of fact, that their inner strength was strong enough to say, I'm willing to die for the cause. However, prolonged torture, they would have broken. They would have cracked, they would have given into it. However, it's not a halachic statement. The second possibility, and there are Rishonim that understand the Gemara this way, is that no, that even though certain mitzvahs are Yehareg v'al Yavor, torture is worse than Yehareg v'al Yavor. Tremendous pain is worse than being killed. And therefore, even though a person is mechuyev to give their life, a person is not mechuyev to accept upon themselves tremendous torture rather than over the gimel averus chamuros. So, similarly here, killing a person, yourself included, is one of the gimel averus chamuros. And even though it's yehareg v'al yavor, still in the case of torture, if we're talking about tremendous pain, there might be room to say otherwise, that when it comes to the case of tremendous pain, still, in case of tremendous pain, a person would be allowed to take their lives rather than to suffer through the pain. Now, there's an interesting discussion. It's actually quoted by Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Sichas Musar, as to what's worse, torture or death. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings a raya from this week's parsha. He says as follows. He says that at the very beginning of the parsha, in the Medrash, it talks about the discussion that Paro has about the final solution. He calls in his three closest advisors to discuss what should we do with the Jewish problem. The three advisors are Yisro, Eov, and Bilam. They all come in, they all have what to say. Yisro says, lozim gain. Don't bother them. Right? Bilam says, kill them all. Bilam says, kill them. And in the middle, Eov runs away. Now, everybody, as we know, gets treated the equivalent. Yisro gets a parsha named after him, he gets a fine son-in-law. Right? Eov suffers the sufferings of Job, and Bilam ultimately gets killed. Now, who sinned the worst? So without too much lumbus, Pashtus, the person who did the worst sin was Bilam. But what Bilam did, actively encouraging Paro to wipe out the Jews, is worse than what Eov did, which is abstain. And if you look, therefore you would expect that the punishment for Bilam is worse than the punishment for Eov. The punishment for Bilam is to die. The punishment for Eov is to suffer the sufferings of Job. You would, Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, you see from here that no matter how bad sufferings are, death is always worse. That's his opinion. I always thought this was a machlokas in the Midrashim. If you go to Baal Osla, in the Rashi in Baal Osla, by the Slav, says that there is a machlokas. There is a steer in the psukim. On the one hand, it says ad shloshim yom, that the people are going to eat the slav for 30 days, and then they're going to die. Then it says abasar odena ben shineim, that as they're eating it, they drop dead. So what is it? Do they die right away? They die after 30 days. So Rashi quotes a sifrei and a tanchuma. The tanchuma says, it depends. Not everybody was equally bad. Said the people that were really bad, they suffered for 30 days. Now they died, they suffered for 30 days, and then they died. The people that are so-so, the people that really weren't, right? The people that weren't all that bad, they got to die right away. As opposed to the Sifrei says it backwards. No, the people that were really bad, they died right away. As opposed to the other people, they got to live on for 30 days. This is not unlike another famous Rashi in Parshas Beshalach by Oz Yoshia. And the Oz Yoshia, you also have the three possibilities. Saluko Feres, they sunk like lead, they bounce on like a rock, were they like kakash, were they bouncing around like straw? So Rashi there, in fact, only quotes one of the two opinions. He only quotes the Tanchuma, and he says the order as well. Why doesn't Rashi quote both opinions there? Is this a matter of Rashi taking sides? So you don't have to be much of a scholar to realize there is no Sifrei on Shmos. There's only a Sifrei on Bamidbar. There's Tanchuma across the board, so it's not such a strong Raya. But again, one could argue that this question of is a life of suffering better than death or not would have to do with these two opinions. How did the worst people get it? According to Chaim Shmuel Levis, according to his take from this week's parsha, life is always better than death. So that being said, one could argue, we have two opinions in the Beis Yosef. According to one opinion in the Beis Yosef, that a person has a right to end his life. Maybe, again, end his life, we're not so sure. Does that mean he can actively end it, or he can allow somebody else to end it? He can passively end their life rather than suffer. Or no, a person has to live, and what Shaul HaMelech did, maybe not blaming him for it, you're not going to point fingers at him, but ultimately it was wrong. If you look at the Radak, number 20, the Radak has another approach. The Radak says, Lo chata Shaul b'hargo atzma. What Shaul did was right. Va'afapi shekosav achas dimchel nasher seichem edrosh, kumiyadchem edrosh oso, im tarog atzmachem, v'chein miyad kochay adyushenu, miyad od ish echav afapi kein, lo chata fishu yodeh Shaul, ki sofo hayo lomus b'mochoma. So, if you know a little bit about Navi, prior to this war, interesting story. Shaul somehow goes and gets Shmuel back from the dead, and Shmuel tells him he's going to die. So he knew that he's dying in this war one way or the other. There was no possibility of getting out of it. Ki ken amar Shmuel, lo ki ro ki matzu amarim. Also because the archers had him locked in. So either way, he's dying now. Well, how do yachol lehimolek miyadam? Said, no, here in a situation where the guy was dying anyhow, it's a question, does the person die on his own, or does he give the plishtim the satisfaction of killing him? So here Shaul, who was the melech, he was an exception to the rule, he had a right to do it, since he knew his time was limited. So if you put this all together, you end up with the idea that life is obviously of paramount importance. A person does not have bialim on their own life. A person does not really have the right to determine when to give up their life or not. However, on the other hand, there are situations, according to some shittas, where a person could say, you know, if life has gotten this bad, I have a right to passively allow it to end. I should say, we're going to go now into the more modern-day poskim on it. Obviously, no one should take this lahalacha. You know, in the event that a person finds himself in a situation, unfortunately, where questions like this come up, don't speak to me, speak to someone competent. So the Moshe says as follows. Udvash she'osem harofim lekayim es mi she'rotzim litol mimenu eze ever she'yichye. Af she'loye koroi, kvar lachas eide emtsoim rochtiim, at she'yu muchen Let's say doctors want to do a surgery. They want to remove something from the person. The person is ultimately going to die one way or the other. However, this is going to extend the life. However, it's not going to cure the person. So he thinks that you do not have the right to make the person undergo this surgery. The person is going to die one way or the other. To put them through a tremendous amount of pain just to live a little longer, the Moshe doesn't think it's right. So Ramosha, I'll try to leave a minute or two at the end for questions. Ramosha says that even though a person does not have a right to take their own life actively, however, we do not have a right to force the person to do whatever they can to prolong their life. In the event that a person there's a possibility that if a person undergoes a therapy, they will be cured and live on. So then absolutely you have a right to force the person. It's not his life. However, if the person is going to die in the near future one way or the other, and extending the life is just going to extend the pain, the Moshe does not see it as being a case where a person has an obligation to undergo this. And in fact, you cannot force the person to do this. We put here other tshuvas by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Tzitz Eliezer, both of which have written extensively on the topic. Or we through the Shlomo Zalman. Rabbi Mesvlatim b'shei lozu shel tipa b'chol agosish, yesh rom shkishem shel mechalam Shabbos over chai shor, kach chayov mahachrich es acholem. So Shlomo Zalman said there are people who go out there and they say, listen, if a person, if I'm a doctor, and I know that, let's say I have a patient that has a week to live, and that person has cardiac arrest, do I have a right to be mechalal Shabbos in order to bring the person back? Absolutely. Chai Shor, we of course we mechalal Shabbos. So some people say, if I'm going to be mechalal Shabbos in order to save the life, so there's a chiyuv. If this was something that was a rishus, if you want it, you can. If not, if this was elective surgery, it couldn't be mechalal Shabbos for that. Let's say the person really had enough. The person is ready to go at this point. So Rav Moshe says that you have to give the person oxygen. You have to give the person food. Right? Holding back food and starving the person, or not giving oxygen, that's the equivalent of actively murdering the person. Right? Even if the person doesn't want it. However, medicines, he does not have to take. A person has a right to say that, you know, I've done enough, and I'm done fighting. So this... Again, be clear, this is the case where the person has no real chance of full recovery. There's a chance of full recovery, absolutely we reinforce them. However, the person has no chance of recovery and they are currently living in tremendous pain. In a situation like that, a person does not have to take the medicine. However, Shlomo Zalman says, we do not encourage it. A person is somebody who is a religious person, and the person who still has his wits about him, you try to explain to him that the proper thing to do is to take the medicine. Why? Because suffering in this world is, in the long run, a very good thing. Obviously, in the short term, it's a very bad thing. However, the amount of tshuva, the amount of avonos that we can wipe out here, if a person is willing to do it, we would encourage it. However, if the person is not willing to do it, we do not force it. Similarly, there's Gemara and Sota, which indicates that living a life, even a suffering, is a zechus. It's an interesting Gemara in Sota, for many reasons. Gemara in Sota says that when a woman, a Sota, drinks the water, the amount of times that the end takes varies. If a woman has a zechus, right, then the woman has an ability to live a year or two afterwards. It could be a very slow process. But it's a process. You know, slowly her stomach blows up and she dies. Somehow that's seen as a zechus. The fact that a person can live that extra year or two, even though obviously it's a year of suffering, that's seen to be a good thing. It's interesting. The Gemara says, what's the zechus that women have? So that if she learned Torah, it's good to know that if you teach your daughter Torah, then she becomes a sota, she'll die slowly. That's a strange concept, right? Assume that's another topic as well. Maybe we'll discuss that in the Midrashet. Yeah. Maybe not. We'll just skip to the end, as it's getting a little bit late. I see Rabbi Schwartz already mulling around outside the door. It's worth noting, the famous Gemara in Kiddushin, Tov Sheberofim LeGehenim. The best doctors go to hell. Why? So there are many opinions. Doesn't just have to be one of them that are right, could be many of them. The Meiri takes the approach, why? Toshim Ravim Gehenim, Mibnesha Kamapam Shofich Domit, Mnei Yish. Many times doctors give up too early. Doctor comes around, they say, listen, we've seen this happen before. Give it up, the guy has no chance of survival. And therefore, because they gave up hope that this person is not going to survive, they just throw in the towel, and the person ends up dying. That's murder. When we say that somebody, you know, has no chance of survival, doctors really have to do whatever they can to make sure that's true. It's unfortunate, but in the current healthcare situation, there are a lot of cheshbonos that go into things that don't necessarily shtim, shall we say, halachically. The fact that we need the bed for somebody else, the fact that insurance stopped paying, you know, the fact that the, you know, the family is just already being annoyed by all this visiting, are not reasons to kill somebody. And this is not a recent turn of events. The Meiri says the Gemara, he spoke about it. Or, sometimes there are doctors out there who consider themselves experts, and if they would go for a second opinion, you realize that there are other things to do. So obviously these are very difficult questions. They are obviously a case-by-case basis. This is just a little bit of a halacha lola maisa overview to give an idea as to some of the issues that come into play. Any questions in the short amount of time we have left? Yes. So, if a person walks down the street, they could hurt themselves. Obviously, the odds of a person hurting themselves walking down the street today is pretty good, but on most days, not great. So, therefore, you know, these are some of the risks we take. If there are certain sports that have an unduly high rate of injury, then the person really has to think about it. Rabbi Willie here for years has spoken out against skiing. Very opposed to skiing, it's too dangerous, etc. A lot of people are familiar with this. A lot of people think he's a crank because of it. On the other hand, a few years ago, one of the boys in yeshiva died skiing. So, you know, it's a real issue. Depends on what. Yes? Oh, yeah, I wanted to... What? So again, so we gave two of them here. I mean, there are people who focus on a lot of... Look at the Gemara. Instead of just waiting... On, every Rishon has what to say on it. If you want afterwards, I'll give you a sheet of them.
Tzitzel just seems to be against it much. It seems to say no matter what, you have to hang in, even if it's imposed.
Correct.
That seems to be very difficult going in. I mean, Rashi brings a riot about this whole system of Hashas and Monea, and... You know, that doesn't seem to be understood.
Right. On the other hand, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to Rav Moshe don't seem. Again, Rav Moshe is basically hanging himself on that one understanding of Shoal, that, you know, if we are running into Yisurin, then you're allowed to, then you don't have to keep on going. There are a lot of Makaris that seem not that way. It's a very difficult situation, and it's... comes down to case by case, I think. But Tzitzel Yasser definitely is much less willing to give in than Rav Moshe. So the Gemara, that's Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos talks about Korea. So obviously doing something, ripping something, destroying is not a malach on Shabbos. That's a malach on Shabbos. It has to be creative. So the Gemara says, the ripping, by definition, is destroying. So how can it ever be? So it says, Korei al meso, if you tear kriya, that would be something that's positive. Nothing, Korei bekaso, that if this is my way of getting rid of anger, if I rip something in half, so that's considered an active thing. So if what it takes me to do, if to take a hacksaw to my car and cut it in half, I think that would be okay. We're not encouraging it in any way, but... So we do kind of say that nowadays. If when it comes to the question of someone committing suicide and burying them in a Jewish cemetery, nowadays we're much more laid back on it because A lot of people are of the opinion when we talk about someone who commits suicide, with someone who does it for philosophical reasons. Someone who has thought about it and decided that life is really not worth living, and therefore, with a clear mind, steps forward, drinks the Kool-Aid, whatever they do, and takes their life. As opposed to somebody who's just, you know, is overwhelmed by what life has dealt, that person's considered an onus, to a certain extent that they are just psychologically imbalanced, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch really sounds like by Shaul, that he was onus. That here he was in the middle of the war, etc. Okay, it's over, he said.
Thank you very much for your rap. We'll start again in a few minutes in the second chair.